Coming up on tonight's podcast, like Man United's ability to win, I went missing for a week. Like a fat chick on her latest fad diet, come back, Apple, all is forgiven. We're on iTunes. More epic than Jeff after he saved on his car insurance at Money Supermarket. More three-way action than Jordan and any generic footballer you can't care to mention. What do you get when you add the stunning Bald Adonis, the thinking lady's crumpet, and multiply by a trained research lab monkey? The F Factor! I'm already not liking the sound waves on that one. That sounded loud. It's welcome to this week's edition of the F Factor, hosted as usual by the stunning Bald Adonis, Bruce Swain, joined by not one but by two men. at the start of this podcast, who both get their own introduction, starting with our usual co-host, Max Carnage. He's a man. Good evening, Max. How are you?
Why?
you just bring out music in there. A real man's man. You complained last time that it was that you were a ladies' man, and now it says that you're a real man's man, and you're upset about that.
Is there any chance there's like a video that goes this where someone's like breaking rocks?
Yeah, there is actually. It was William Regal's entrance music.
Yeah, so I remember William Regal's entrance music.
A brief period in the WWE. But not only have we got the thinking ladies' crumpet, we also got the as yet unnicknamed, if that's a word, trained research monkey, Tebow. Yes.
See, now that works.
One is the loneliest number, isn't it, Tim?
It is.
It's what goalkeepers say. And emos.
You just happen to have one of each.
We have the explosive combination of a Liverpool fan and a Manchester United fan in the same room. One of them wearing his club shirt, one of them wearing his nation shirt. I'll leave you to decide.
We only played yesterday, so.
Yeah. Well, there you can work it out. It's Tebow.
I didn't give it away.
Which means we played yesterday.
Liverpool played yesterday?
Yeah, that's only Man United. What's your point?
You obviously don't care enough about hygiene.
Manchester United did indeed play fair yesterday. there were two equally thrilling games, I feel. So it's time, with that said, to move on to. Goals galore!
I love this music.
Who wants to go first? Who wants to talk about their team?
Take the floor first.
Sexual moments. Okay.
Just generally, but also about your team's performance.
David De Gea.
David De Gea put in a very, very, very good performance. I have to say, it was his save from Juan Mata was.
That was the best save he's made in his Old Trafford career.
Was that because I haven't actually seen all the match? I've seen clips. And I saw the one where literally it was going almost into the corner, almost across the face of goal.
Same
and he's just got like a touch on it. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. See, a lot of keepers there would just stand back, rely on the reactions. But he came out quick, made himself big.
What would you have done in that situation, Max Garnett?
I would like to think that I have done exactly the same.
Would you cry?
But what would Jesus have done?
Jesus have done. He'd probably have
Jesus
turned,
saves?
Turned the football into rain.
Exactly. It's Jesus. Exactly. Jesus never lets him in. Jesus saves.
Who always keeps it clean?
Tebow, your beloved Liverpool.
I have two sexual moments from that match. If I have three, the sensible one was Luis Suarez's little touch just to get the ball into the net. The other one was Walker's beautiful back pass.
Yeah, Carl Walker being a little bit special.
Absolutely, like, just just so beautiful, but then Stuart Downey scored off the back of it.
In all fairness, it wasn't just Kyle Walker. I mean, Hugo Lloris didn't exactly...
He didn't do any favours.
Cover himself in glory. Like, what was that he tried to do there? He just kind of sort of did the weakest karate kick at the ball I've ever seen.
Karate?
It's a good job that they signed Francis' number one goalkeeper as opposed to signing the midfielder or striker that they may have needed during the transfer.
Yeah.
I still think that Tottenham would do very well to sign Christian Benteke up front.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
I think they'd be a scary side.
I think anyone would do well at the moment.
It's like, you know, the kind of things that Adebayor is meant to offer, but he just doesn't care.
Adebayor does and can offer.
Yeah.
When he either A, needs a club, or B, needs money.
Yeah. Or he's trying to...
When he does score, he does come out with some beautiful dance moves, and I think that's mainly what he offers a club.
Yeah. I actually think the quickest Adebayor has ever moved was when he scored for Man City.
Oh yeah, he ran through the pitch.
I have never seen pace like that from a footballer. And it wasn't just the pace, it was the whole swerving, swaling arms that he was
a particularly camp move.
Desperately trying to get to the Arsenal fans. It was
the final sexual one was a beautiful header from Steven Gerrard, where he just happened to take Gareth Bale out for about 5 minutes of the match.
Header? You mean elbow?
Got the ball. It was two players who were aggressive towards the ball.
This is the problem, Tim. If you lead with your elbow and catch them in the head...
That's why you're sexual. I hate Gareth Bale.
Maybe.
Get out!
He's a chimp!
Maybe he thought Gareth Bale was a DJ and he was acting in self-defence. Just saying.
It's possible.
Aside from your two teams, any particularly standout sexual
special
moments?
Mention for Juan Mata for me.
Juan Mata, yeah, we've discussed him before. He's a fantastic left player.
I was always of the opinion that David Silva was the better player out of the two.
Yeah.
Coming from Spain, and I saw David Silva play years and years ago when he was playing for Valencia up at Old Trafford, and I thought he was brilliant. And since he's gone to Man City, I've been gutted. Obviously we didn't get him. City went out and got him instead, and I did think he was a better player, but having seen as much of Mata as I have now, I've changed my opinion big time, I think. And yesterday I was terrified every time we got the ball, quite frankly.
I think Silva's quietened down a lot this season.
Well, I don't think playing in that team under Mancini helps.
No, they're not the most attacking of sorts.
Did you see the Man City game?
No.
I saw the clips of it.
Well, Tevez scored a hat-trick.
Yeah.
Played brilliantly. Came off as a substitute, gets the round of applause he deserves. Mancini starts having a moan in it.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And he's just like, what? Tevez is kind of looking as if to say, what
am I just, because he got the hat trick.
What do you want?
He set up the other two as well.
Yeah.
And like from like just the highlights, he obviously played well, but he was man of the match, and
it was bizarre. But this is Roberto Mancini.
His man management does leave a little bit to be desired, I'd say. He generally seems
entire management.
Yeah, he seems to be of the that's harsh. You don't win the Premiership by fluke.
No, you don't. It helps if you have lots of money and lots of good players.
Yeah, but that I don't buy that. That's a silly argument.
I agree, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. We should not have been in with a chance of winning that league last season, and we almost clinched it. We lost it by goal difference.
Yeah, I was going to say, to win a league, all you need
people remember that you lost it by goal difference.
You just need Joey Barton on the opposition team.
He's busy.
Get one of them sent off as well.
Busy talking about Justin Bieber and things like that.
That was clever, Joey.
Nowhere near in comparison to the moments that we discussed, but my sexual moment of the weekend was Stephen Fletcher scoring for Sunderland, because I'm getting ever closer to winning £10 in the bet.
I told you, didn't I? We had this conversation last week, and
it's just a shame that it had to come during a 3-1 loss to QPR, because we all know that I hate QPR.
Stephen Fletcher, actually, going back to the whole sexual thing, if you saw the game, there was one point he's running down the wing, the ball's bouncing to him, he sort of overlaps the ball and just back heels it into I think it was Sessegnon, and if Zidane had done
that,
people would be raving about it. It was, but he's very good.
But with Stephen Fletcher, that would be him being accused of being lazy because he didn't really upfield. And then
I do think Stephen Fletcher's big problem is he's played for Burnley and Wolves.
True, I'm not going to
that, you know, when you're as good a player as he is and you've played for Burnley and Wolves, people don't really,
and he's
give
Scottish
you the, yeah.
Well,
exactly, he's played for Scotland as
well. Exactly.
And he doesn't really get any worse.
Yeah, they used to play with Chris Iwolumo up front, like Wolves.
Like Burnley as well.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But yeah, it did disappoint me that the QPR won. I would point to the wall though, that QPR, Wigan and Reading are all in the bottom three.
They are.
I was thinking about this. Now, if QPR can carry on the run they're on at the moment,
they're playing at Aston Villa.
That is the old cliche. A six pointer.
Yeah.
But no, it's a must win game for both teams.
I think if Villa go down, it
predictions?
Will be a massive shame.
I'll hold you to account.
I think if QPR play the way they have been playing, then it will be a QPR victory.
I just want a final score. In fact, I'll go for a final score.
2-1 QPR.
2-1 QPR?
I'm going to go for an own goal as well.
Brackets.
Off Villa.
OG? Brackets. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me really, but they've got Kieran Clark and everyone else in defence. They seem to think that by getting it in the goal, all counts without realising that in their own goal it doesn't count in the same way. Max,
it's at Villa Park, am I?
It is at Villa Park. That doesn't really mean a lot.
It doesn't. No. I'm gonna say a score draw. So let's say 1-1.
1-1. As much as
I'm not gonna predict an own goal.
As much as I don't want to be the man just to make up the numbers with the other result, the three of us.
Well, you were never really going to pick QPR.
I'll be honest. My head tells me that QPR are going to win it. But obviously my heart says I don't like QPR. So I'm going to go with 2-1 Villa. So there we go. We'll see who's right as of next weekend. Anything else that came up over the weekend or the previous week's football, which we will move on to one of those subjects shortly. Norwich drew 0-0 with Southampton. Thrill a minute.
Holt missed the penalty at the end,
which was never a penalty.
However, they
should have had a penalty earlier in the
game. Because he got dragged back.
Yeah.
But when you first looked at that penalty.
I thought it was a good decision. But then you see it and he does go down really easy.
For somebody of his size, very easily.
Speaking of somebody of his size, West Brom won 2-1 against Swansea.
What is it, the tank?
Yeah, probably. That would be fitting for Lukaku.
Yeah.
This is why I don't understand the idea that Chelsea are just like, we've got to sign somebody up front. It's like,
It still baffles me that why they've let him go to West Brom.
They need to sign somebody on the basis that they sell Torres, and so they need a replacement. Barr hasn't been as good since he's been there, but he's still
a
solid player. And I think Lukaku, if they gave him a chance in the team, would be fantastic.
Yeah,
I don't understand the mindset of whoever made that decision at Chelsea at the start of the season. He looked and thought, you know what? We've got all these players. We've got all these creative players. You know, your Oscars, your Matters, your Hazards. Whoever, you've got all these good midfielders, good attacking players. We've got three strikers. We've got Torres, Sturridge, and Lukaku. Now, for me, any team that's going for the Premier League or competing for trophies on all levels, they should have four good strikers. So, at what point did someone say, you know what? We've lost Drogba, let's send Lukaku out on loan and we'll stick with Torres, who's been awful, and we'll stick with Sturridge, who we don't want to play anyway.
Things at the start of the season, Torres almost recaptured a bit of, does it start the season, he captured a bit of
football. He's gone to a few, he's gone to
like,
stings.
He had a hat-trick at one point.
I'm not having it. I don't.
He just dropped straight off again.
I think, at first I could kind of forgive the whole situation. I thought, you know, injuries, obviously a move, but now
it's just getting ridiculous.
It can only be down to one person. You can only make so many excuses for someone who used to be that good.
Yeah.
Bonus points if you can name me as many Chelsea players as you can that are out on loan currently. So we've established Lukaku,
Josh McEachran,
he's on loan at Middlesbrough.
God,
I would only get Lukaku, to be fair.
In midfield,
there's another midfielder,
there's a big name midfielder,
Essien.
Michael Essien is on loan.
There is, but there's another one. There's another young midfielder.
Kevin De Bruyne is on loan
at Bremen.
Thibaut Courtois, who is apparently amazing.
Yes, Atletico Madrid.
Yeah,
he's very good.
But that's part of the deal, is that they're going, oh, if they sign Falcao, they want Courtois. I'm like, Czech's not going to be around forever.
Courtois.
Why would you let him go?
I'll be honest. Czech. You got to remember though, Czech's, you know, he's not old. He's not an old goalkeeper. Chelsea signed him when he was 22.
I just think
he's been there, what, not eight, 9 years?
Yeah, exactly. But
so
I also think that Czech has no real competition to keep him on his game.
Don't be silly. He has Ross Turnbull as competition.
Yeah, exactly. He has no competition to keep him on his
name doesn't
really
fulfill you.
The additional ones, not such great ones necessarily. Sam Hutchison, who's on loan at Nottingham Forest. Gael Kakuta, who
is
the
is he still
the next
playing?
Thing.
Is he
he's
still
on loan at Vitesse
him?
Arnhem. Patrick Van Aanholt, who's also on loan at Vitesse, I think, are a feat.
Van Aanholt is not actually a bad player, from what I see.
Jeffrey Bremer, who's on loan to Hamburg, and Lucas Piazon, who went out in January to Malaga. So, yeah, interesting their policy, I feel, of loaning out all these players, and one that ultimately I think has come back to haunt them. Is there anything else that we need to pick up on? Not really, I don't think. Villa won 2-1 at the weekend. I think the what we can lead into from that is the sacking today of Brian McDermott, the Reading manager.
I was very shocked at that.
That's a surprise.
I wasn't shocked at it on the basis they've had a takeover from Medeski.
Yeah.
Not from, but you know, somebody's taken over from him. And it was only a matter of time that they thought, oh well, we've lost four on the bounce, blah blah blah.
I
think it's harsh.
Yeah.
Because they're an atrocious side on paper.
They're punching above their weight.
You claimed last podcast that Norwich had the worst side in the Premiership.
Yeah.
But I would say that Reading are definitely pushing them.
Is it just me, or has Pogrebniak really gone downhill?
Pogrebniak was never a particularly great player.
But for Fulham, he did quite well.
He had a good couple of games at first for Fulham, and then I think he scored about six or seven goals. You have to remember, you know, three of those were a hat trick at home against Wolves.
Yeah.
Who were. Sorry.
No, you don't have to apologise. They were awful.
Was
that a period where we got it was Terry Connor?
And you know, we didn't really do much after that. I think if you're not an exceptionally good striker playing in a team of that sort of quality, you're not going to get many chances. You've got to take them when they come.
Who is the Reading captain, as an example?
Who is it? Jason Walkers?
Nope. Jason Walkers is only on. Is he on loan? No, he's not on loan anymore.
No, he's still there.
He's still
injured.
He's injured for the rest of the
time. I thought he was the club captain.
It is Joby McEnough.
Oh, God. There we go.
Now, what does that tell you?
that's a bit hot.
In fairness, I'm looking through the side.
I tell you what. Having seen, obviously, I watch every United game, all 90 minutes. And this season, when we went to Reading, I've never been so fearful of a team attacking us.
That's an interesting thing to say.
It is, yeah. But it seemed like every time they put a ball into the box or got the ball forward in that half of the pitch, especially in the first half, they either scored or created a chance. I don't ever put that down to how we played or how they played, but you know, it was one of the more uncomfortable matches I've had to sort of sit through and enjoy this season.
This may not be their starting 11, but they're number 1 to 11. And tell me any of these that you go, yeah, he's a player. Goalkeeper, Adam Federici. Decent, I would say.
No. Okay, championship level at best.
I was going to say he's all right, but nothing to say.
Actually, got Stuart Taylor there at the moment.
Chris Gunter, number 2.
No.
Not
good
enough. Nicky Shorey, number 3. Definitely not good enough.
Average at best.
Jim Carasan, number 4.
Haven't seen enough of him to have an opinion.
Alex Pierce at number 5.
Same.
Number 6, Adrian Mariappa.
Mariappa's not a bad player, actually.
7.
I think he can cut it in the Premier League.
Pogrebniak, we've discussed.
Again.
Number 8, Leggettwood. All right.
Championship.
Number
9, Lafondra. I think he's a good little goal scorer. But again, I think he thrives in at championship level. Mm. He's done well when he's come on this season, don't get me wrong, but he's a championship player for me.
Number 10, Noel Hunt.
Not good enough.
Number 11, Joby McEnough. They've got Jimmy Kebbe at number 14, who strikes me as a reasonable player.
The best player I've seen from this season was Hal Robson-Carney.
Yeah.
He seems dangerous when he plays.
Mm. But I said this on one of the previous podcasts, that Reading are struggling. Mm. But Reading were doing shockingly in the Championship in the season they got promoted, and then they went on a blinding run for the second half, which you find is often the case for teams that get promoted.
This is my point with Brian McDermott, though. Reading might stay up. They might.
Yeah.
Now, they should not stay up.
They shouldn't.
There's no way anyone looks at that team compared to the other teams in the Premiership and thinks, you know what? They're going to stay up there. They're not. And Brian McDermott got them into a position where that even now they've got a chance.
Yeah,
okay. But if they go back down,
it's the best
person to have.
I think it came ahead of the plan, didn't it? So it was
You know what I mean? Managers seem to get punished
for overachieving or achieving too much early.
Yeah.
However, if they don't achieve quick enough,
it's like,
you cannot win.
Atkins did, was it 2 promotions on the bench?
Yeah.
And then lost how many games or
we'll have a brief roundup of the gossip column before moving on to our feature. Apparently, Monaco are looking to go for Carlos Tevez this summer.
Can't see that happening.
Are ready to test Manchester United's willingness to keep hold of Wayne Rooney.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I'm personally
of the opinion that Wayne Rooney should leave Man United. Mm. Because I feel he's suffered from the fact that he's adaptable, and the fact that he's willing to do. I know people will say that he's, you know, a bit of an arse and this kind of thing, but he's very willing to just play for the side in a number of positions that are to his detriment.
I'll tell you something, I do not want to see Wayne Rooney leave, and I don't think he will leave. However, when I saw that in the paper this morning, I did actually think, you know what, if he was going to leave, I think that's the best place for him to go.
So that'll PSG, I think.
I would say PSG. No, he's too good for that French league.
Prove that he's better than Zlatan.
Zlatan's too good for that French league. We know why Zlatan's there.
Well, yeah, but you know,
you've got a quite good song. Probably not queued up already. But we know why Zlatan's there.
Apparently Arsenal are after Victor Wanyama. I haven't seen enough of Victor Wanyama.
I've seen a bit of him, and the reason I've seen a bit of him is because United were linked with him. I'm sure he's a good player, but I just don't think ever buying a player from the Scottish Premier League and bringing him down into a top 4 club is going to be a good idea.
Well, you did sign a player from the Scottish League.
Yeah, we signed Liam Miller.
You also signed Henrik Larsson.
We signed no, it's different. We didn't sign Henrik Larsson from Celtic. We signed Henrik from Helsingborg.
Yes,
he had since left Celtic, gone on to Barcelona, helped them win the Champions League. Yeah, I can see what you're saying, but I think Henrik Larsson was a one.
Generally, with the Scottish League, is not a great sign of quality.
Mm.
Although I'd still gladly take. I've completely forgotten his bloody name. Back to Wolves.
Oh, Lee Griffiths.
Lee Griffiths, thank you. Yeah. Even though, that's no indication that he'll score. I would think in the Championship he would, but...
Imagine he would score more than Kevin Doyle has managed
to see. Kevin Doyle. Who apparently Celtic actually wanted to take on deadline day, but they've sent in the bid at about 9:45, and he was clearly about third choice. So they turned it down.
Just touching on Wolves, wasn't there an overhead kick from Ebanks Black?
There was, I'm surprised he could lift his weight that high in there, but there we go. Apparently Barcelona attempted to replace Puyol with Vincent Kompany.
Mm-hmm.
Very good shout. I don't think he'd leave Man City as his captain.
I would. I think he would.
I don't think he
would. If Barcelona came in,
I think if anybody, if anyone...
Especially if Roberto Mancini is still the manager.
Possibly. Apparently your side, Manchester United, are weighing up a move for Luka Modric.
I think that's
a lot of hot air, to be honest.
Modric.
That's come off the back of last week. The problem is we've apparently been linked and looking at Modric for 3 years now. So that's always going to come up, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
There was a Real Madrid... for Modric and 30 million for Bale.
Yeah.
Apparently.
That wouldn't happen because Modric won't go back to Spurs.
Mm.
No, I don't think the fans would want him back, to be honest, because he was an absolute swine about leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But that about wraps that section up. So, to be honest, I think it's time we need to talk about Manchester.
Woo! It's smooth.
This music.
I used to hate Simply Red, but I actually found myself grooving along to
my dad used to love them. And
they just
hate them so much, but I just love that music. Just right, man. You know, I think it's brilliant.
It's their, like we discussed before. They're named sort of after Manchester United.
Massive
but anyway. Movie. Manchester United, for those who lived in a cave, played Real Madrid in the Champions League on Tuesday night, just gone. What was the score, Max?
2-1.
2.
Real Madrid.
What about on aggregate, Max?
3-2.
Obviously, the main talking point of the game was the... sending off of Nani.
Can I wind him up again now? Because
you can
said
do whatever
he said
you like.
He said he calmed down a little bit and he was almost over it. And I said there were 5 words I wanted to wind it, that I could use to wind
you
up.
Yeah, got them.
And they are Roy Keane, blatant red card.
Roy Keane.
let's just proceed this with the fact that Max is a very mild mannered gentleman, but on the night of the incident,
we will refer to it only as
the incident. Max lost it at the medium of Twitter and the medium of Facebook to the point where his club chairman had to point out that he was responsible for his own tweets and that they in no way reflected the views of Castlecroft Rangers.
Especially as there was abuse aimed towards referees.
But do carry on, Max.
Look, all I'm going to say, it's possible, because I know what you two are like, that I may swear. Now, if I do, I'd like you to bleep it out.
Okay. I'll try my best.
What do you want me to say?
We all know what happened, we all saw it,
we all know it was absolute bollocks.
you're allowed bollocks.
Straight in.
I canvassed opinion in my section of the office the following day, and to be honest, it was a 50-50 split as to whether it was a red card or not.
You see that.
When you look at the rules of the game,
whilst he had his eye complete on the ball, and he wasn't intentionally going it with a high foot.
Don't.
And
give
it is
me.
Something that Nani does, getting the ball, pulls it down.
Don't give me this rules of the game bullshit.
It was a very
okay.
high foot. However, the referee should have gone, right, well, he wasn't doing it in a malicious way. There was no intent to harm him. But
one of my colleagues claimed
the
was.
Foot was high. There was no intent.
Can you name this colleague?
No, I'm not going to name this colleague. But one of my colleagues claimed that there was a. He wasn't looking initially, but then when he went for him, there was a definite look as he kicked him, which I think is rubbish. I think Nani was just going. And I also question Arbeloa when. What was he doing? It's
yeah.
like he could see that Nani was trying to control the
I
ball,
mean,
but then he just kind of leapt into
you
his
wouldn't,
foot.
You wouldn't run into someone's foot, would
there
you?
There was somebody who said, though, if there was a chance that he could have got the ball, I can't remember who was it said this, but if there was a chance he could have got the ball and he got it, good. If he didn't get the ball, if he just stood back, Nani had knocked that over him and been away, the rest of the team would have been on his back. So
yeah,
that's why he just went straight in.
I'm going to point something out here. This is, which is immediately what came out of me, especially after fucking Roy Keane's comment. I'll point this out, yeah. Roy Keane was going on about how it doesn't matter if it's intentional, yeah. If you endanger an opponent, it is a red card. Earlier in that game, a corner comes in. Now, I don't think this is a red card. I'm just going to point that out there. A corner comes in. Nemanja Vidic goes to head the ball. And gets punched in the head by a goalkeeper who completely missed the ball. Now, I think that's endangering an opponent. Why wasn't he sent off? He didn't even get what would have been a penalty? Nothing. Because it's okay, because it's the goalkeeper. So this referee does not have a leg to stand on.
He's
talking garbage. Roy Keane's talk is a bitter, bitter little shit is what he is.
I can't help but think that Roy Keane's rage towards Man United is connected with the time when Ferguson had a go at him in the past for saying stuff, and basically just said something along the lines of, so management has not worked out too well for him, has it? He was spot on.
Well, you know what I think added to the whole rage issue. I mean, obviously I was hugely upset and disappointed. I did feel robbed. I think we were robbed to a degree because we had control of the game.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we would have gone on and gone through because with
I
the team Madrid have got.
I don't think you would have easily won the game.
Yeah,
I think it
would
have come down to extra time.
With the team Madrid have got, you know, anything could have happened. And I think, you know, you grab an away goal, it's an awful situation, especially the fan to have to watch it. But the thing that raged me about it just as much was not only Roy Keane, but it was on ITV, ITV coverage, and I had to sit there and just watch Adrian Childs make his little jokes and quips. Well, my team had just gone out of Europe unjustly.
Adrian Childs is
having
like
a
the
fucking
worst
laugh about it.
Possible presenter. Like there was,
I don't
there's,
mind
there's
Adrian
one point.
Childs.
There's one
Alvin
point
fan.
I thought to myself, you know what? That was actually all right. It was. Something about Drogba, I can't remember if it was the Champions League final, but it's something about Drogba saying he went, oh, he's managed to stand on his feet long enough to walk off the pitch or something like that, and that was good for him. But then there was another time when it was I think it was in the Euros or World Cup, I can't remember, it was a while back, but he said there was this beautiful piece about, I'll say beautiful, maybe pushing it a bit far, this lovely poignant piece about David Seaman, and you know, it was, you thought to yourself, oh, you know,
I remember this.
That was a really good times they were. You know, there was belief behind.
Did he make a
Seaman
joke?
And then no, afterwards he went, oh, well, I don't know about you, but the only thing I could concentrate on was those awful jumpers. It's like, dude, come on. Just focus on the football.
You know how bad it was? I actually yesterday, before the United Chelsea game, I seriously considered this. I considered turning the sound off and listening to the commentary on the radio on TalkSport, because if there's one thing that's as bad as, or one person that's as bad as Adrian Charles, it's fucking Townsend.
Townsend is the whole lipstick on a pig argument to me when he wears a suit. It's like, you know,
there was,
he's still on my shit, mate.
I was catching the highlights, or a little bit of it, and I thought, no, it was the aftermatch part, and I thought, oh, I'll watch this. and then it flicked from the match back into the studio, and I saw him, and I just went, nah, forget it, and just turned it off. His voice just irritates
me. You know what?
He's Irish, though. Do you not like the Irish accent?
Do you know what is annoying, actually? And just one last thing about ITV's coverage. What is annoying is they've got a guy who's been there ages, Matt Smith, who presents usually the highlight shows, who's very good.
Hmm. Well, apart from the fact that my mate's dad, when he used to watch the darts, said he wouldn't watch it because it was hosted by that wanker Matt Smith.
Matt Smith is very good. He's been there years, and then all of a sudden he has to sit there and let that...
Round-headed mother
flipper.
Just come in and take your... You know what I mean? I'd have left. I'd have said, ITV? Fuck you. I'm gone.
On a similar subject, I like when he presents fighting talk on Radio 5, I like Colin Murray. But on Match of the Day, he works. I think Mark Chapman is very, very good. He's the man who's going to be replacing him. And how I think he would have done very well at ITV. He does the ESPN stuff.
Yeah. I don't mind the ESPN coverage, although they do sometimes get John Barnes on.
John Barnes is terrible.
And one other person who's terrible is Chris Waddle. I don't think he actually watches the game that he's commentating on.
I would still say the worst example of both co-commentating and analysis and all that kind of stuff was the Liverpool special edition of Match of the Day a few weeks back.
No, it was Liverpool
it was Michael Owen.
Oh my god.
Mr. Excitement himself.
It was literally impossible. He should have played a little bit better through that ball there, but he almost got through. It's like, Michael,
he's the kind of man,
leaning forward, aren't you? We can tell.
He's the kind of man who should end the sentence with, that was a joke. Because it's like, he has to tell you.
I'd say the best co-commentator is, without doubt, Mark Lawrenson, the most sarcastic man in football. Sometimes watch football and he's commentating, and he's just not interested.
Back to the talking point originally, the United Real match.
I tried to get off that.
I know.
You're not
getting back to it, because I want to point out in the sexual moments that goal from Modric. I know there was talk where he could have been closed down if they had that 11th man on the pitch, but that goal from Modric was absolutely...
You're really picking holes if you're trying to fault a team for conceding that goal with 10 men.
Yeah.
You are picking holes.
There was a couple of people who said, if I think it was actually Ryan Giggs who said, if we had the 11th man on the pitch, then I think Carrick would have filled that space.
I tell you what, if we'd have had the 11th man on the pitch, I don't think Modric would have come on, because he was bringing Benzema on.
He was, and then he's heading back, didn't he? We'll end this, because obviously Mac, this is causes pain for Max.
Well,
I meant to bring this up last time we discussed this briefly. My favourite bit of commentary, the YouTube video of it being said 1,000 times, is this. Goes on for 22 minutes, just like that. John Watson and his finest. Oh, Balak!
He's going senile.
Honestly,
if you listen to his commentary these days, it's starting to get a bit ropey.
No, I think he's been going ropey for a long time.
Yeah.
He's much better on Radio 5 than he is when he's doing
TV. It's because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So you're just listening to him, whereas he's probably looking at something and telling you something completely different, so it's okay.
The moment that it all went wrong for me with John Watson was... he started preparing stuff, because my favourite commentator was Barry Davies.
Barry Davies
is brilliant.
Yeah.
My favourite line ever from him was Giggs. Just simple. But John Watson, he always said that he didn't prepare things, whereas John Watson did. And I remember when we conceded a goal against Brazil from Rivaldo, and he got something lined up about, he's ravishing, he's ridiculous, he's Rivaldo, and I was like, go to America and do this. It doesn't work over here. But yeah, Motson, I think, has been on his way out for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
But they've got to keep him,
haven't they? They've got to keep him.
He's
there
part
for
of
sentimental value.
Indeed. But yeah,
which I have no problem with.
But we've riled Max a bit, so I think we'll
yeah
we'll, we'll
I can
we'll,
I can
we'll
stop
leave,
cursing.
We'll
now.
Leave him to calm down.
Is it time to try
arm? No. It's time to move. We're going to have, like in wrestling, where they have a big exciting match and then they have a Divas match to break the tension before the next big match.
Yeah, which I found out when I went to see Raw Live is the wrong time to
yeah,
go in a
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, do not go.
I thought, you know what, I'm going to wait for this Divas match to come on and then I'm going to grab
Sorry,
myself
no, no,
a
no,
beer.
No.
Divas
yeah,
one of them, yeah.
That's how it's pronounced.
I thought, right. Go grab myself a beer. Big mistake.
Yeah.
Biggest queue ever.
Yeah. You would think that, you know, an arena full of men would watch two
yeah.
scantily clad women yeah. fighting each other. No.
Good looking women as well,
yeah.
yeah.
Exactly, yeah. But it's time to
we
move on.
We wanted to watch the men in small shorts.
It's time to move on to that regular, yeah, that regular segment where we discuss grassroots football.
Hey.
That clap is not going to come out well on
no,
the
no, definitely.
Particularly as he's nearest the microphone.
You keep moaning about my the level
but,
of my
but,
voice.
But what would happen, Max, if I if a ball was to suddenly come near you? What would you say
during a football game?
Yeah, yeah.
I would shout, "Keepers!"
Shitting hell!
That's
the
way
time
for
swore.
That is horrific.
That's the first time I've sworn on this podcast.
I haven't sworn.
I do that many
I've been,
times.
I've been
again.
Moderating.
There is another one though. There is another shout.
Oh, there's
don't shout
it's
allowed.
There are plenty
yeah,
of shouts like no bounce.
Yes, no
or,
bounce.
Or second ball.
Yes.
Or
Chris,
on.
Get on the right wing. Right winger. Anyway, I believe there were problems in having this week's game.
Yeah, unfortunately, our pitch, the McKenna Webb Bowl. Was waterlogged.
I love the fact that it's called the McKenna Webb.
I don't
bowl.
Even know what McKenna
you
Webb
the fact
is.
It's the bowl. I actually looked this the other day. I believe it's a gentleman who started a company for web design.
Oh.
Hence,
McKenna
Webb.
Okay.
And his name is something McKenna.
Well, yeah. Upon inspection of the McKenna Webb Bowl by one of our players on Friday night, it was deemed unplayable.
Mm.
So. We couldn't really play Amana, who we were supposed to be playing.
Amana. They
yeah.
sound Irish.
No, they're actually an Asian team.
Okay.
Amana.
I
yeah.
thought they might be, what's the Travellers team.
Because
there are
yeah.
some around Wolverhampton.
Very PC. But no, so we did actually arrange a 9-a-side friendly on a 2/3 size pitch over at Wensbury Pulse.
Okay.
Against Caulfield Rangers, who were top of the league currently. We played them a couple of weeks back and got hammered. We did quite well. We ended up losing 1-0. 4-0.
Yeah,
we came off losing 1-0. We probably didn't deserve that. We probably deserved to get a draw. In the end, but it was a good little exercise, and all the lads got together. We had a beer and stuff. So, yeah, good Saturday.
I'm listening to you. I'm not just checking my phone. I'm setting up a new fitness.
Very rude.
He's not listening to me.
I'm
at all.
Setting up a new feature that will be coming up next.
What I was going to say is the following the match, there was discussions of you having a green and blue kit next.
Yeah, I hear there's rumours of.
Well, this came about because our usual. White shorts weren't washed in time.
You didn't bother putting them in, did you?
I've
seen how much dedication he has to the cause, and to be honest, they should wash their own fucking kit. If
well,
you want
to thank you. You know, they're all moaning. They're like, oh, you haven't washed the kit because it was still a bit damp.
Yeah.
Because I had to do it last minute because I thought the game was off.
Yeah.
You know, I do this in my own time, and they all moan at me.
Anyway,
because we didn't have any white shorts, we had to wear the blue shorts from the blue away kit, and the green blue green combination. I have to say, was very nice.
Was that your sexual moment of the week?
It probably should have been. Honestly, I mean, I thought it was very good, but no, we're not going to have a green blue kit. There was some ideas being bandied around, but no, it will be green, white, and black.
On that subject, what do you feel? I've just thought of this on the fly. What is the worst kit that you've ever seen, do you think?
Ever?
Yeah, ever. In your opinion, which is the worst kit you've
ever seen? It's actually currently...
yeah, I think I know what you're going to say.
It's actually currently...
Is it a big team?
Yeah, it's quite a big team, yeah.
Arguably the best team in the world?
No.
Oh, right. Okay.
Arguably the biggest team in Europe?
No. It's Liverpool.
The third kit.
Yeah.
Tribal designs
it's
on
the
sleeves, man.
I don't understand why.
The thing is, as bad as that one is, there's supposedly
I've seen the new one.
It's white.
It's got little diamonds in the chest.
Oh dear God! It's like a diamond.
I thought it was a dark purple, but there's images of. Am I?
No, you might be searching the new one.
Are we on about season, this one?
We are, yes.
Yeah, that's a lot lighter than it. It's a lot lighter than it actually is there.
Tell me you've seen a worse football kit.
I have seen a worse football kit because that exact colour is the one that I was going to refer to. Is years back in the late 90s, I saw Bournemouth have an away kit that was that colour purple on the shirt, and then they had fluorescent green shorts.
Wow,
indeed.
See, I quite like. I think it's Malaga actually with a pink.
You would like a pink.
I think that's not playing pink.
There's nothing wrong with pink.
Pink. Juventus is away kit is sometimes pink.
I think Ollie has a lovely coloured kit.
I think. Are you entering a contender that isn't your own kit? That is pretty.
Besides the new third. No, no, I think it's new away. Not even the new third kit. As much as it. Great to me to slightly agree with Adrian Charles. Not really a team kit, but David Seaman's red with the yellow and green and
the Euro 96 goalkeeper kit. It was the Euro 96 goalkeeper. I actually had, if you remember, the red one went with the grey strip, didn't it?
Yeah.
I had the yellow one.
The yellow one. I like the yellow one.
I had that kit.
The red was too much.
I was that into Euro 96 and I was so desperate for a goalkeeper top and I just kept asking my mom for it all summer, and eventually she got it me. But it was about five sizes too big. But I still, you know, I just played football, tucked it into my shorts as any good and proper footballer would do, and got on with it. So.
There's another Liverpool contender back in the day.
Oh, I remember that one.
The beautiful goalkeeping top.
David James.
Turquoise, purple, and white and black. Although another entrant I would probably say is the Wolves home kit from the 90s.
You know what I know about the wolf head?
No, the one where they had dirt.
Like, the tyre mark smudges.
I remember that. At the time didn't mind that, but looking back it was horrific.
Yeah, I remember that.
We digress a little because we now come on to a new segment that I like to call Max Debate. What
could have gone so much worse.
What's funny about that?
It's just if you need to ask,
you
really
filthy masturbator. With that in mind, what I'm going to do, this is the bit where I am merely facilitator. So I've got some music ready to start. What will happen is that one of our analysts, our football analyst, will take one side of the argument,
and the research monkey
will take the other side of the argument. Are you ready and poised?
Not at all.
Today's topic of discussion is who is the best player in the world? Is it in the red corner, Cristiano Ronaldo of Real Madrid, sponsored by Max Carnage, or in the dark black emo corner, sponsored by TiVo, it is Barcelona's Lionel Messi. As I say, I will be moderator of this event, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you each, this will be uninterrupted, so as much as you've got a point that you want to make, you're not allowed to until after they're finished. Well, actually, you will both make your opening statements and then you can have a debate.
Okay, can I just point out one thing in advance? Max is going to give facts and figures, and I believe he's probably getting his phone out now to back himself up with these figures. I'm pretty much going to go on whether or not I like the player on the whole.
There's nothing wrong with that. It would be what some would describe as truthiness. You don't have to have facts to back it up.
Yes.
You just believe it in your heart to be true.
I'm going to go on the basis that I'm right and you're wrong.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So let's we'll be a little bit professional again. Fade out.
Oh.
I have tried
getting better at this.
Good fade work.
I'm skilled with my hands. Joke's place. But yeah, so I think with all that said, we'll go first of all to Research Monkey Tito.
I knew it was gonna come to me first.
With arguing the case for Lionel Messi of Barcelona. Your time starts now.
And how long do I actually have to discuss?
3 minutes.
I need to put filler
three
in,
minutes.
Let's be honest.
3 minutes.
Okay, why Lionel Messi is the best player in the world? We're not talking ever, obviously, but the moment.
At the moment.
We'll
have another debate at another time about the best player in the world. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah, I was going to say, at the moment, the reason why Lionel Messi is the best player in the world, first, he's got four to back him up. Everybody likes him, yeah, good enough person. But you see, I was actually voting on going second because my main argument on why Cristiano Ronaldo is not the best player
in the world. No, you are defending your player.
Yeah, but I can't because I was going to get second.
Go on then.
You can't because you don't have
a digress.
Okay, I'll go back to why he's the best player in the world. Like, if you look at, yeah, he has got a better team around him, but just because he's got a better team around him, well, it's no detriment to Real Madrid because they are a damn good team. But if you look at the team around Lionel Messi, he facilitates them in playing. And yeah, he has got Iniesta and Xavi, who were considered the best midfielders in the world. But he's Lionel Messi, you know, everyone likes Messi. And I just wanted to go second, really. So I'm just
saying you wanted to go second. You've gone first.
Okay, he's
got a minute 30 remaining.
God, Jesus. He has got the nice cutthroat side, mate.
Who are you, the Undertaker?
If you look at his goal scoring,
Lionel Messi has scored 209 goals in 241 games for Barcelona.
I haven't looked up the facts, but I mean, he's got the record for the most goals in a calendar year.
He also
is breaking 17 consecutive games,
which is a stat attributed to a record the Barcelona
claim,
not FIFA.
Oh. But you know, he's a good player. He's nippy. He's fast. He's nice.
He's giving away football boots on Twitter.
Yeah, you know.
As Jay, your
lovely
mate,
man. I know, my time's off. Go on,
it's
Max.
Not up yet. It's not up at all.
How much have I got left?
You've got 45 seconds.
Oh Christ! I hadn't looked up any facts.
See, you needed to come prepared with facts.
But the reason why I didn't look up any facts
you were
because I knew Max would destroy me in this anyway.
There's a lot of Lionel Messi fans who are not going to be happy with you.
his record for Argentina is 31 in 77 games.
See, he's
at the age of 25.
He's a lovely little guy. You know, he's nice little. He's not greasy. You know, he's just a nice chap. And that's why he's the best footballer in the world. I think that sums it up.
Interesting.
So,
well.
I'm not too. I'm just going to say what we got from that was it seems that Lionel Messi's the best
because he's a nice guy.
Because he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Time was officially up there.
That's right.
It is now the turn of Max Cornage to discuss the merits of Cristiano Ronaldo of Real Madrid being the best footballer in the world.
Okay, I'd like you to tell me that little stat on Messi and his goal ratio again, please.
209 in 241 games.
209 in 241 games.
For Barca.
Cristiano Ronaldo for Real Madrid, an inferior team to Barcelona. An inferior team, as the table stands at this point in time, and playing from a deeper position, starting on the wing, has scored 138 goals in 127 games. Which is more than a goal a game, which is a better ratio than Lionel Messi. Now, there are things that Cristiano Ronaldo can do that Lionel Messi can't do, simply because of his physical stature. Okay? Cristiano Ronaldo has played in three different leagues and performed for three different teams. Lionel Messi has played for one, the best team in the world, with all the best players around him. Okay, I'm not saying that Real Madrid don't have good players and they don't have the best players around, but quite clearly, if you're playing for Barcelona, you're going to get a lot of opportunities, you're going to get a lot of chances, you're going to score a lot of goals. It's not me saying that Messi's not a good player. Up until probably about 12 months ago, I'd have been on the Messi side, on the Messi camp, saying Messi was the
best. You're always on the Messi side.
Okay.
Look at him all prepared.
There's just...
1 minute 30 remaining.
If you were to... A friend of mine who's a Messi fan agreed with me on this. It was actually his suggestion. But if you were to go and say to some kind of scientist, you know what? Make me the best footballer in the world with all the attributes, everything you need to be the best footballer in the world. He would not create Lionel Messi. He would create Cristiano Ronaldo because he's big, he's strong, he's quick, he's dominant in the air, on the ground. He can dribble, he can shoot, he can pass, he can cross. You know, he can do everything. Whereas Messi can do most of those things, but not to the same degree that Ronaldo can do it. Messi is better than Ronaldo in two areas, possibly. Dribbling, I think, yeah, fair enough. He's probably better than Ronaldo. I think probably, and I mean just, ever so just, his finishing is probably better than Ronaldo. Okay? But let's take a look at the last six El Clasicos. Ronaldo scored in every single one.
You have 20 seconds remaining.
Okay. Messi. When Messi isn't good, there's always an excuse.
Yeah.
When Ronaldo's not good, it's because Messi's better. That's not an argument.
Nah,
and as much as I throw arguments at people, their argument back to me is, yeah, but Messi's better. Why?
How perfect timing was that?
That was very well timed there, Max. Okay, I have questions. Firstly, to Mr. Carnage, the argument that Lionel Messi has not played in another team, so it means that he can't be that good.
That's not quite what I said.
Is that not akin to taking, say, a i7 processor and going, yeah, but if you put it in a 386, it'd be shit.
What?
If you got the world's most powerful computer processor and put it in a different, that wasn't quite as good, all the stuff going around it, going, yeah, but it wouldn't be very good then. It'd still be just as good.
Yeah,
do you know what I think?
Yeah, but this is my point. Ronaldo has proved himself. You know what I mean?
But just
I'm not saying he hasn't proved himself. Ronaldo's proved himself in three different leagues.
Okay.
With three different teams.
Who is the better international player?
Technically
Ronaldo, I'd say.
I would say Ronaldo because he carries a team, he carries a worse team.
He's
Messi's probably got a slightly better goal ratio for Argentina. But if you ask Argentina fans, they expect more from him.
I think on the international stage, I think everybody
I do think he does some. I've seen some games he's played for Argentina where he's been unplayable.
He's
but when it comes, you know what? He didn't score in the last World Cup.
No,
didn't score a goal.
But he has got a better goal ratio. In fact, he's got 31 in 77, which is a 0.4 goal ratio, whereas
Ronaldo's
38 in 101, which is
37%
goal ratio, 0.37%. This is my thing, is why is there more expectation on Messi to perform better if they're supposedly just as good as each other? This is what I don't understand.
Because I think Messi is playing and Messi, he has four Ballon d'Ors, okay? Yeah, I'm not doubting that. But if you've got four Ballon d'Ors, you're expected to be
absolutely
the man
often.
You're expected to go into that Argentina team, and Argentina is supposed to win the World Cup, and there's that expectation there. and it never really delivers in the big tournaments, does it?
So in your opinion, if he played somewhere else, how do you think he would do?
I don't know.
Do you think he would score a goal a game? If he came to Manchester United?
I don't think he would be as prolific as he is. In the Premier League,
I was thinking this earlier.
Premier
League, you wouldn't be. If you look at Ronaldo's size and stature,
exactly.
That was the main thing you were on about.
He's not just built.
Yeah.
Ronaldo isn't just built for the Premier League, though. You know what I mean? He can handle the Premier League.
Yeah.
And also another thing, when he came to Manchester United, he couldn't. And obviously we looked at him, and he looked at himself, and he thought, okay. I need to improve myself.
Hmm.
Has Messi ever sort of looked at himself and thought, you know what, I need to be bigger and stronger? I don't think so. He probably just thinks, you know what, I'm a little nippy bastard. I get the ball, I dribble past everyone, I score.
I mean, that's the thing.
So I think Ronaldo's worked harder as well to be where he is.
If you were to look at, I mean, I'm not by any means comparing the two players, but if you looked at Suarez and Messi. Obviously, I think Suarez is
up there in the top.
Well,
this
was another point
that
I was actually going to get to. But if you look at Suarez and Messi, they're both short players. And if you look at Ronaldo, like, you've got somebody you compare to Messi to. Ronaldo does not, like, there's not anybody who's got his pace, his power, his, like, free kicking ability that everyone thinks, Jesus Christ, he's incredible. Whereas, you know, you've got Suarez and Messi, you can sort of compare them in stature, in pace.
Ronaldo is fairly, I was going to say fairly unique. That's an incorrect turn of phrase. You can't be fairly unique.
Yeah.
But he's fairly special in like you say, in his size, compared to the level of skill and dribbling and all, you know, the technical ability. You don't normally get the two coupled together. His record for Manchester United was 84 in 196 games. So. Not as good.
No, but I think when he was signed by Manchester United, he was 17. And again, we played him as a winger.
Mm.
And he had, he had to earn his place in the team. His first season, he didn't play an awful lot. He was usually making appearances from the bench. His second season, again, the same sort of thing. He was developing as a player. I think it was his third, fourth and, you know, fifth season. You know, he then came to the fore, and when he did,
go on,
he really did.
He's greasy though, isn't he?
He's
my argument that I was going to say, the reason
again,
why
again, this is not an argument for footballer.
I'm
not trying to get Tebow involved in the debate.
But if you were to, I was going to say, if you look at a player like, because there's actually a website, I think it was Messi versus Ronaldo. That was as far as my research went before coming into this. I just looked at one website, and it was Messi versus Ronaldo, and it basically said all the cups had won, all the awards they'd won, how many goals they scored, and all that. And then it compared them on. It was like goal scoring ability, penalties. There was strength, I think it was, and Ronaldo was edging the majority of the time, and Ronaldo was ahead. But then the one that Ronaldo really fell down on was honesty. And that was the one that really... No, this is a... I'm not saying everyone's going to believe this.
You should be arguing the case. You know what? I'll tell you what a nice guy, because everyone says, you know what, Ronaldo, he's arrogant. He's that Ronaldo, you know. First of all, he can be, because he's that good. Okay? And secondly, Messi's probably just as arrogant, just... He's a nice guy. I'll quote Lionel Messi. I'll quote something he said, this is arrogance. Cristiano Ronaldo once said, "Yeah, it's an arrogant comment that Ronaldo would come out with." He said, "You know what? I've worked hard, but I think my ability's been given, you know, from God. I think I've been sent from God to play football." You know what?
He's lost me at that point.
You know, you know what Lionel Messi turned around and said, and some people. He turned around and said, "Well, I didn't send him."
I know.
And people talk about Ronaldo having arrogance.
I'm not even convinced that Lionel Messi actually did. but if he did, that is a brilliant line. I don't have a problem with arrogance. I like Brian Clough with the whole. You know, I wouldn't say I was the best manager in the world, but I would say I was in the top one. you know, that if you're good enough, you can be arrogant. That's not
this is the point. Some people. That's how some people base their opinions. They think, oh yeah, because Messi, you know, he's a nice little chap, isn't he? Yeah, he's a lovely little fella. Oh, that Ronaldo, I don't like him. You know, he's always playing up to the camera and stuff. It's just personalities. It doesn't mean one's a better player than the other. Mm. Not having that for a second.
But that, like I say, that was a part on this website, and the main bit that did fall down was the honesty. And then that made me start to think: would Suarez be considered a better player if he was more?
I don't think
integrity
driven. He would. More people would like him. More people would think he was a better.
I don't
player.
Think Ronaldo has such a problem with honesty as he used to have. The whole Rooney winker
red card
thing.
Yeah, I think that was a major.
But again, you know what? If that was the other way around,
yeah, we'd have probably all.
We'd have all been going. We'd have absolutely loved Rooney. I'm sure it was the same in Portugal with Ronaldo. So you know, I don't blame him for that at all. And in all fairness, Rooney did stamp on Carvalho's balls. We'd all love to do it, but in the middle of a World Cup quarterfinal, it's probably not a good idea.
Stamp on several players' balls.
Carvalho is a cheeky boy. He gets away with things he should not get away with.
You notice he's calmed down a lot now, because if he was still in the Champions League section, he's a cheeky. That's what it would have been.
Remember to bleep those.
I'm not going to bleep them out.
It takes ages.
It's all right.
You promised.
We'll put
nine listeners last week. Nobody's going to.
Exactly, that's nine people who are going to think I'm a
fascist.
Yeah, a fresh talker.
Football brings out emotion in people. Mm.
And nice guys.
I feel that the end of our first debate, the answer is still somewhat inconclusive in that Lionel Messi hasn't played for another team. So the argument is always going to be, oh, it's just because he plays for Barcelona. And unless he plays for someone else.
I'm going to stress, I don't think it is just because he plays for Barcelona. The guy's clearly exceptional, possibly one of the best ever. And I think if you'd have asked me this question 18 months ago, I'd have said Messi.
I think Ronaldo certainly upped his game over that period. Mm. And I would say it is very close between the two.
We should just be, I suppose we should just be blessed that we get to see these players. Mm. I would like to finish on one thing though. Probably my favourite goal Ronaldo's ever scored, and probably a lot of people wouldn't think that this would be my favourite ever goal, but I think it epitomises what I'm talking about. And in the 2008 Champions League, we played Roma in the quarterfinals away. We won 2-0. And Ronaldo scored a goal that Messi would never score. And I mean would never score. And the ball comes to Paul Scholes on the edge of the area. He chips a ball in. Say into the box, it was close to the edge of the box than it was the penalty area. And Ronaldo's run from about 20 yards and leaped over this guy and bulleted a header past Doni, who was the goalkeeper at the time. And in the process, he smashed his head up. I can't remember who went up for the header with him, but he pretty much not quite knocked him clean out. But he was down, he didn't get up and celebrate because he was injured. And that is the kind of goal that Messi would never score. And that's why Ronaldo's a better player. Because he has the ability to do things like that. That's my argument.
I don't think it's a great argument.
Why? I'll tell you why. Because everyone will go, oh, well, Messi scored that header against United in the Champions League final.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't
and how many others has he scored?
Yeah, but he doesn't make... There's plenty... I mean, you're telling me then that there aren't goals that Messi scored that Ronaldo couldn't.
I'm not saying that.
Well, there you go. I'm
saying he has a more rounded ability. You know what I mean? Messi, everything's on the deck with his feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ronaldo, if you put a free kick 40 yards away from goal, Ronaldo could score. Messi couldn't.
Mm.
That's a fact.
The thing is, like, there's
goals
that,
you know,
from free kicks
player,
Ronaldo wouldn't be able to score, which Messi could. Certain goals are. There was that one when, obviously, I can't remember who it was against, but the team was still setting up the wall, weren't fully set, and the referee blew for it, and Messi, I think it was with his left foot, and the angle just wasn't doable, and he got it in. And Ronaldo wouldn't think to do that because he'd be taking too long in setting his stance up and then waiting and then doing a bit of it, and then he'd blast it, and it, but he could have scored it, but not as quick as that. He wouldn't be as quick as Messi.
He could still score from that position, is my point. And I think with Ronaldo, you just got a complete player. You've got everything. He's got everything, whereas Messi doesn't have everything. He has an exceptional amount of talent in what he can do, but Ronaldo can do everything.
But Messi has a nice complexion. He's not greasy.
So, to conclude, in the great debate of who is better out of Cristiano Ronaldo or Leo Messi, the answer is we don't know.
I don't think you could, unless you played them one on one with obviously no other players, you couldn't say, and it's obviously never going to be possible to.
I'll tell you how you could find out, but it would never happen. When Real Madrid and Barcelona think, oh, let's do a swap deal.
Yeah. But yeah, so on that bombshell, it's time to say goodnight from me, the stunning Boulder Dice. It's goodnight from Research Monkey Tebow.
Good night.
And good night from Max Carnage.
Good night.